We have, as Pastor John has said, the final sermon of the six, so we're finishing up in the golden chain. We've gone through Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through to 14. And we've covered a fair bit of ground in 5 weeks. We really have dug into the meat of God's word. We've thought about the doctrine of election, thought about predestination, adoption, redemption. We've thought about our inheritance in Christ. Weighty topics, important areas of our faith. We've seen God's sovereignty in relation to our salvation. We've heard from the Word of God how God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We've heard about how He predestined us for adoption through Christ to be His children. We've heard about how He has redeemed us through the shed blood of Christ on our behalf. And we've heard last week about how He is storing up an inheritance for us until we acquire possession of it. So this morning we're going to give our final consideration to this passage. We're going to think about the concrete reality that confirms that all of this is actually true for us as Christians today. This isn't just some nice idea that's put down on paper, but it's actually true reality. And this is the sealing of the Holy Spirit. So our understanding of what it means to be sealed with the Holy Spirit has huge ramifications for our understanding of our salvation as believers, and also how we live out our Christian lives day to day. This biblical subject area has important crossover into the conversation that takes place under the banner of once saved, always saved. Maybe better worded, once truly saved, always saved. Or this conversation about eternal security. Whether a person who's been genuinely saved by God can later become unsaved. Can they lose their salvation? And this is why our study this morning is so important for us to rightly understand. If we don't properly grasp the nature of our salvation, of the sealing of the Holy Spirit, then we'll continually run into points of crisis in our Christian life with regard to whether we're truly believers or not. A lack of understanding with respect to the sealing of the Holy Spirit contributes significantly to this roller coaster that many Christians experience. And where one minute they are sure that they are believers, and then the next minute they're questioning everything in their walk of faith. Understanding the reality of the sealing of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer safeguards us from this cycle, because it centres our assurance of our salvation in the work of God. It centres our assurance in God and outside of ourselves. It also gives us further clarity that if in fact we are saved, then it's because of God. If God has saved us, then He has sealed us with His Holy Spirit. So this is what we're going to discuss this morning. Let's get into God's Word together. Now, please open with me to the book of Ephesians. Whether you're opening a physical Bible, a Bible app, or Lord knows what else you might be able to access the Word on these days, let's turn together and look at Ephesians chapter 1. If you've got any semblance of a memory, you'll know that we have covered this text we're going to read this morning, and we've done so last week from the angle of our inheritance in Christ. But this week we're going to think about the angle of the sealing of the Holy Spirit. So we will look again at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. This is what it says. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Pretty matter of fact, in verse 13, Apostle Paul states, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." This is the truth about what's taken place in the life of every legitimate believer in Christ. They've been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. This is the assumption. If someone's a true believer in Christ, then they are sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is the testimony of every child of God. In fact, if anyone claims to be a child of God and they're not sealed with the Holy Spirit, then they're illegitimate children. They're actually not God's child at all. Because all of God's children are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So, first and foremost, this is true for every genuine Christian. Now, this isn't just something that's true of an elite group within Christianity. Rather, it's the gift given, it's the action performed by God himself in the life of every true Christian at the moment they believe the gospel. These are the first questions that our text actually clearly answers for us. The who and the when. We need to have these answers firmly installed in our minds. You know, the who. Who are the ones that are sealed with the Holy Spirit? The answer is believers. Now, this isn't speaking about anyone and everyone. We know this because the Apostle Paul's writing to believers in Ephesus. And we spoke last week about how the "we" in verses 11 and 12 refers to the early Jewish believers, and the "you also" in verse 13 refers to Gentile believers, in particular the Ephesians. And so Christians, whether Jew or Gentile, are those who have been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And when does this take place? This is another important question. Paul says in verse 13, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." So when were the believers sealed? When they heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation, when they believed in him. This is the answer. The answer is they were sealed when they believed and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was at this moment, at this point in their historical timeline, when they heard the gospel and believed it, that they were sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is important to know. And this highlights that a person becomes a new believer and they're sealed with the Holy Spirit at this moment of conversion. The sealing of the Spirit is the sign that a person is truly a believer and they truly belong to God. And this happens at the moment of their conversion. Snodgrass, in his commentary, sums it up. And he does it well. He says, "As a result of faith, people in Christ are sealed with the Holy Spirit. This statement describes conversion, not baptism or a second experience after conversion. At conversion, all believers receive the Spirit as both a seal and a deposit, guaranteeing future life with God." So, if this is the fundamental truth about every believer, you know, if all true believers are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, then it's important for us to think about and understand what this actually means. How are we to understand this sealing of the Holy Spirit? What's the significance of it? What's God communicating about us when he seals us with his Holy Spirit? John MacArthur sums this up well. He says, "The sealing of which Paul speaks here refers to an official mark of identification that was placed on a letter, contract, or other important document. The seal usually was made from hot wax, which was placed on the document and then impressed with a signet ring. The document was thereby officially identified with and under the authority of the person to whom the signet belonged. That is the idea behind our being sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. The seal of God's Spirit in the believer signifies four primary things: security, authenticity, ownership, and authority. Security, authenticity, ownership, and authority. So, sealing is an official mark of identification. When God seals us with his Holy Spirit, he's saying, "This person belongs to me. They are mine." The sealing of the Holy Spirit signifies that we belong to God. And every child of God is sealed with his Holy Spirit at the moment of their conversion. And so MacArthur helpfully mentions these four specific realities that are communicated about us as a result of God sealing us with his Spirit. These are the four things that I want to unpack a little bit this morning. Security, authenticity, ownership, and authority. Firstly, the sealing of the Holy Spirit is a mark of security. It communicates that what's been sealed cannot be changed. And this truth about an ancient seal was seen, for instance, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. King Darius and his nobles placed their seals over the entrance so that, we read in Daniel 6:17, nothing could be changed in regard to Daniel. His fate was sealed. In a similar fashion, we also see this in Scripture when the tomb of our Lord Jesus had a stone rolled over the entrance, which was then sealed in order to ensure that nobody could get in to steal his body out from the tomb. The seal communicated security. It was something that gave full finality to the situation or to the thing that was sealed. It ensured that the determined and decreed end of that which was sealed could never be changed. In the same manner, this is what's being communicated about us when we are sealed with God's Holy Spirit. This is the sign that his decreed and determined end for us cannot be changed. We belong to him. Nothing and nobody can break his seal upon us. And thus, nothing and nobody can thwart God's determined end for us in Christ. If we belong to God, if we're his children, then this is an eternally established reality. And this is attested to by the sealing of the Holy Spirit. This aspect of the discussion about the sealing of the Holy Spirit as believers gives rise to the conversation about once truly saved, always saved. Eternal security. Ultimately, where we stand in this conversation will flow, knowingly or unknowingly, from our understanding of exactly what takes place in salvation. Our stance will be heavily influenced by where we perceive the weight should be placed in terms of our salvation. For instance, do we think that the ultimate determining factor in our salvation is what God has done for us in Christ? Or do we think that the determining factors with respect to our salvation are what God has done and what we do? Or, alternatively again, do we perceive that the real determining factor with respect to our salvation is ultimately what we do? Those open to the idea that a believer can lose their salvation will tend toward viewing what they do as a or the significant determining factor with respect to their salvation. So their actions can ultimately make or break their salvation. I would suggest that to hold this position is to misunderstand the relationship between our salvation and our works. In many respects, it's understandable how someone could land here, because the understanding Understanding the relationship between salvation and works requires mature thought. It requires careful consideration. The Bible talks about salvation. The Bible talks about good works. What's the interconnection, especially in the life of a believer? We know, for instance, that James says, faith without works is dead. James communicates that true saving faith will outwork itself. It will evidence itself in our lives if we're believers. If we're genuinely saved by God, if we're sealed with His Holy Spirit, then our everyday lives will be transformed. Sanctification will take place in us. The fruit of the Holy Spirit and the works of righteousness and holiness will manifest themselves in our lives by God's power. Without question, genuine faith will be evidenced through the works of a person. And this isn't a cookie-cutter mold. Some people God may transform in certain areas immediately. Others may be more longer-term. This isn't a one-size-fits-all. But if we believe in Christ and we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, then we will be changed. God never conceives of one of His children not living out the reality of their salvation and their sealing of the Holy Spirit through a life of increasing holiness and Christ-likeness. And this means, if they are filled with the Holy Spirit is instrumental in the life of the saved child of God. The Holy Spirit brings transformation. And this means the person who has the Holy Spirit will bear fruit in keeping with repentance. In fact, if there isn't any transformation in the life of the person who claims to be a child of God, then serious questions need to be asked about the genuineness of their conversion. Not because they should be able to muster up all this energy to try and change themselves, but because the Holy Spirit changes us. It's the power of God. And if we say that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of God, then the evidence will be seen in our lives. It's true that we're not saved by good works, but we are saved to good works. These are good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And this isn't a fleeting reality. We know that a genuine believer will persevere to the end because God in His power will keep them. And thus, they will ultimately continue in the faith as will be evidenced in their life. Again, not because they're somehow more special than everybody else, but because all believers are filled with the Holy Spirit. Yet we need to hold this reality in tension with the fact that our good works aren't determinative with regard to our salvation. What do I mean by this? Ultimately, as we've learned throughout this series, our salvation is on the basis of God's grace through faith. The determinative factor with respect to our salvation is the work of God in Christ. We have assurance that we're saved because of what God has done for us in Christ on our behalf, not because of anything that we do or don't do. As the well-known words of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Salvation is indeed the gift of God. God has done all that's required for our salvation from start to finish. And He's going to bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus through the power of His Holy Spirit. Our salvation isn't the result of works on our part. It's not because of anything we do or don't do. It's wholly and completely based upon the finished work of God in Christ. This is the beauty of the gospel. That if God has saved us, if He's sealed us with His Holy Spirit, then this is final. It's unchangeable. This is how it will be throughout eternity. There's no unsealing. God doesn't make mistakes here. He knows those who belong to him, and nothing can take them out of his hand. Our Lord Jesus tells that in John chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. So this is the security for us who believe, because our salvation is entirely on the basis of God. It's the gift of God. It's freely ours through faith, because God has willed it to be this way. However, some get concerned by this kind of talk, because they think it opens the door for people to just get a ticket to heaven and then run off and live however they like. But this isn't actually the case. First and foremost, salvation isn't just a ticket to heaven. So if we're thinking that way, then we've misunderstood the gospel in the first place. Secondly, someone who's genuinely been sealed with the Holy Spirit won't go off and live however they like for the rest of their lives. This is an impossibility, because there's a transformation that inevitably takes place in the life of a genuine believer through the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that he changes our desires. He changes our thoughts. He changes our convictions. He aligns our lives with God and his word. And this transformation is a lifelong reality. It brings about a perseverance in us as believers, which ensures that we hold fast to God until the end. Sure, in the life of a believer there can be ebbs and flows. We know that the Bible tells us we still need to die daily. We need to deny ourselves. We need to put our flesh to death. As Christians on this earth, we still have the capacity and the propensity to sin. However, we are being transformed by God's Spirit day by day. God's Holy Spirit convicts our hearts concerning our sin and leads us toward repentance from it. God's Holy Spirit leads us to identify sin in our lives that potentially, when we're first saved, we don't even recognize as sin. He leads us to turn away from these behaviors. He changes our thinking, and he leads us to instead walk in the ways of God. He renews our minds by the truth of God's word. And again, this is a process. Now, and it can look different in different people's lives. Some things, even in our own lives, can be immediate. He opens our eyes and we're like, man, that's got to change. Other things can be more long haul. But the power of God at work within us will ultimately, as we know is our hope, present us faultless before the throne of God. That work of sanctification will be completed. We will be with Christ in glory. We will appear with him in glory. So such is the life of faith. It's one of continual submission to God and his word. It's one of continually being changed in our daily lives to look more and more like Jesus, our Savior and Lord. True salvation will definitely lead to good works. Yet the foundation, the assurance of our salvation, is found entirely in God and what he's done for us in Christ. And because he's done what he says he's done, we can have this full assurance that nothing and no one can change his determined end for us as his children. Not even ourselves. This is the gift of God, indeed. Honor summarizes this reality of our security as God's children. He says, "So believers' reception of the Spirit is the sign that they belong to God in a special sense and have been stamped with the character of their owner. They belong to him now, but they are also protected until he takes complete possession of them. The Spirit is an eschatological seal who marks believers out as a people who will be protected through the testings, the battles, and the sufferings of the end time, which are already upon them." Doesn't that give you hope? The Spirit is an eschatological seal who marks believers out as a people who will be protected through the testings, there are testings, through the battles, through the sufferings of the end time, which are already upon them. It gives us hope, it gives us peace, it gives us rest, and ultimately it gives us assurance, because again, God will keep me. How do I know this? Well, He's given me His Holy Spirit. It's not because I'm the greatest person in the world, or I'm the greatest Christian in the world. Well, no. I mean, we're all in the same boat. Now, we may be further along or different areas in maturity in our lives, but ultimately we all need God, and our assurance is what God has done and the fact that He's given us His Spirit. And secondly, the sealing of the Holy Spirit is a mark of authenticity. These seals in ancient times showed that whatever contained the seal of the king was legitimately from him. In essence, it was the king's signature. Whatever bore the king's seal was from the king. It belongs to him. It had his approval. And thus, when God seals us with His Holy Spirit, He stamps us saying, "This person belongs to me. They are a citizen of my kingdom. They are my child." It's a mark of authenticity. Thirdly, the sealing of the Holy Spirit is a mark of ownership. When the Holy Spirit seals us as believers, He marks us as God's divine possessions. The sealing of the Holy Spirit says that we belong entirely and eternally to God. We're God's people, His heritage. We spoke about this last week, where there was some difference of opinion. Is the passage talking about our inheritance from God, or is it saying that we are God's heritage, His inheritance? And we mentioned how it's a both and. And so in this respect, we see this mark of ownership as saying, yes, these are my people in a unique sense. And so the sealing of the Holy Spirit confirms that this is a full and final reality. It's the ultimate and absolute truth about us. If we are in Christ, we are God's possession. He owns us. I mean, in this unique way, in this special way. We are His children. He brings us into His family. And finally, the sealing of the Holy Spirit is a mark of authority. When we're sealed with God's Holy Spirit, we're marked out as delegates of His kingdom. We're sealed as delegates of our King with His own authority. We see this, for instance, in Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18 through to 20, where our Lord, with all authority in heaven and on earth, commands us to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all that He's commanded us, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we're sent out with and under His authority. We're sent out to proclaim, to teach, to defend His word and His gospel. The Apostle Paul communicates similarly about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. He speaks about how we are ambassadors of Christ, how we're entrusted with His message of reconciliation. He says that we are to minister this message of reconciliation to the world. And he says, as we do so, as we carry this ministry out, in fact, it's as if God Himself was making His appeal through us. Now, this is the depth of connection between us and God. And this is the nature of our role as those who are sealed with God's Holy Spirit. We're truly His mouthpieces. We're His hands and feet upon this earth. Having these correct understandings of what it means to be sealed with the Holy Spirit are important for us as believers, because they protect us from error. They protect us from confusion with regard to the Holy Spirit, with regard to our salvation. Now, the Holy Spirit is the seal who signifies that we belong to God. And this is forever. The other term that Paul uses in our passage is one that connects with our previous sermon when we considered our promised inheritance. He says that the Holy Spirit is also the guarantee, or some translations, the down payment of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. So the sealing of the Holy Spirit and God's giving of His Spirit to us as the guarantee of our inheritance both serve to give us assurance that the completeness or the full realization of our salvation will definitely be brought about. Snodgrass says it this way: the Spirit is a deposit. The Greek word used here indicates a down payment that guaranteed complete payment. The Spirit, in other words, is God's first installment on our salvation and the guarantee that the full future inheritance will be delivered. This is what's being communicated. It will be delivered. So if you've received the Holy Spirit, this is the guarantee to you that all the rest of the future that God has planned for you, that He has told us about in His Word, will come to be. And the fact that God has given us His Spirit is our assurance that He will indeed bring about the fullness of our salvation, that He will indeed save us to the uttermost, that He will keep us through this life, and that He will ultimately bring us through death and into His holy presence forever. Because He's given us of His Spirit, we can know that He will indeed give us our promised inheritance on the last day. This is also helpfully communicated in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, where the Apostle Paul says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." We're sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Even though we journey through this world of sin, God has sealed us with His Spirit and will ensure that we get to our final destination in His presence. Isn't that a beautiful truth to know? That God is keeping us. This is meant to be understood as a great comfort to us as we walk this difficult road of faith, this difficult road of following Jesus upon this earth. That through all of the trials and tribulations, and through all of the storms, the sufferings that we will, perhaps, or have endured, in all of that, God has set us apart as His people. He will keep us until the end. He is strong enough. His salvation is complete enough. His Spirit is powerful enough. He is able to sustain us through all of this life and throughout all of eternity. And this should give us great joy. It should make us eternally grateful to God, because God has got us. John MacArthur helpfully once said, "If you could lose your salvation, you would." He said, "If you could lose your salvation, you would." And that's the cold, hard, matter of fact about the issue. If our salvation were up to us, we would have no hope. But praise God, it isn't. It's based upon the power of God. Even if we are faithless, He remains faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. So rejoice in the security that you have in Christ this morning. If you're God's child, then you've been sealed with His Holy Spirit. You belong to Him forever. And if you're sitting here this morning, or maybe listening online to the message, and you're thinking, "What's my assurance right now that God's going to bring about the full realization of my salvation?" It's the sealing of His Holy Spirit. Because the sealing of God's Spirit upon the Christian confirms all that He's done for us. It confirms that He's chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Because you won't be sealed with the Holy Spirit if He hasn't chosen you before the foundation of the world. It confirms that He's predestined us for adoption as His children through Christ. It confirms that Christ's death has redeemed us from the penalty of sin that we deserve. And it confirms that God has an inheritance stored up for us until we acquire possession of it. If you're God's child, then you're sealed with His Spirit. And this means that you have security that this can and will never be changed. You have assurance that you authentically belong to God. You've got God's signature upon you. You're assured that you are God's divine possession. And you're commissioned with God's authority to live out your life upon this earth for His kingdom and for His glory. So rest in the salvation of your God this morning. Be encouraged at the mighty salvation of your Lord, that from start to finish, He has saved you. He is saving you, and He will save you. And know that without a shadow of a doubt, He will bring you faithfully unto Himself on the last day, because He has sealed you with His Holy Spirit. May this be an encouragement to all of us this morning. An encouragement that our God has us, that our assurance is found in Him. And may it be an encouragement for us to live out lives of faith, to walk in these good works that He's prepared beforehand for us to do, to lay our lives down for His kingdom, to fully invest our lives. Now, to take account of our lives, to be like, man, how am I doing that? And because if we truly grasp the gospel, then we will live our lives in that gratitude. It will flow forth through us. The Spirit will empower us to live as we ought to live, to be more like Jesus every day. And let me pray for us.